Breaking news, a crash in the South Point Mall creating miles of backups. How many hours delays are expected to last?
Happening right now, WRAL takes you inside the vote at Durham City Council for a ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war. Plus, Sky 5 captured the smoldering home where deputies say a man shot and killed one person and injured another. What they're sharing about the chase to catch him.
We're getting a warm-up before you'll need to reach for your umbrella. I'm timing out the cold front that's bringing our next chance for rain.
We begin with that breaking news right now at 7. All lanes of I-40 East are closed near Durham South Point Mall. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. What a mess. Sky 5 flying over the scene here where multiple vehicles were involved in this crash. We know one person was taken to the hospital. Mark Boyle is in the WRAL Live Center. As you were saying off the top, this is hours of work left to be done before we're all clear.
There's a big cleanup out there, Dan. No doubt about that. I want to show you. These are the backups, those delays we're talking about coming from Chapel Hill area, eastbound delays going in towards Durham and in towards Raleigh. The mall was right at the I-40 Fayetteville Road exit. Take a look at the screen right here. From Sky 5, you can see what a mess it was out there this evening. This all happened just before 6 o'clock and still is continuing to be a problem. So the update right now at 7 includes two of the lanes have reopened, but we are seeing those residual delays. There is that cleanup. There's the semi-truck involved and at least five, possibly six cars. And from the video here, Dan, you mentioned the backups. They certainly do and did stretch for miles tonight. A big headache during that rush hour commute. One person hurt, non-life-threatening injuries. That is some good news to report right now at 7:01. Back to you.
All right, we'll check back in. Mark, thank you.
New at 7, Durham school leaders are responding to community concerns for the first time since one of its buses burst into flames with students inside. This is dramatic video that circulated on social media not long after the incident near American and White Pine Drives Friday. The driver got all 23 students off the bus safely. Durham Public Schools says a thorough investigation is underway with both the Durham Fire Department and Thomas Built buses. Tomorrow afternoon, Brogdon Middle School students and staff will celebrate and thank the brave bus driver for her heroic actions.
All right, tonight, Durham is likely to become the second city in our state to call a ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war. As we take a live look, the members just giving the Pledge of Allegiance moments ago, the meeting just getting started. WRAL's Julian Grace is live there. Julian, as we can see behind you, a big crowd of people here for this moment tonight.
You're right, Dan. And so many people are eager to get inside City Hall for the Durham City Council meeting. Let me show you what I mean. This is the entranceway right here. You see all of the people here, but then I want you to look at this. Look at that line. It almost wraps around City Hall here. People are eager to make sure their voices are heard tonight. Now, earlier this month, you may recall we watched as protesters gathered during the Durham City Council meeting. They expressed their opposition to the ongoing conflict. They held signs as well as roses representing the children who have lost their lives due to the conflict. Now, tonight, this same group will be in attendance as they hear if council will approve the ceasefire.
We know this was a big step for City Council, and we know it's not enough. And so we want to honor the gravity of this moment and what is being asked of all of us individually and our representatives to keep pushing as hard as we can.
Dan, you may not be able to hear it, but this crowd remains rather optimistic that council will pass that ceasefire tonight at 10 and 11. You will hear reaction from those and the decision tonight. That's all new at 10 and 11.
All right. We will check back in. Julian Grace live in Durham. Thanks, Julian.
Dan, an update right now from Cumberland County Sheriff's investigators. The person they say is involved in a deadly shooting is in custody. This is the picture they've just released of the suspect, Mateus Bagby, 45 years old. On your screen, some video from when this all happened. There was a shooting and a fire. Sky 5 flew over the scene this morning on Evans Dairy Road. It started with a 911 call that shots were being fired. When they arrived, they saw the house on fire there, and shots are still being heard. Sources close to this investigation tell us Richard Yarborough was shot and killed outside the home. David Matthews is in the hospital with life-threatening injuries. As for the suspect, Mr. Bagby, he's facing charges of first-degree murder. He is expected for his first appearance in court tomorrow afternoon at 2:30 there in Cumberland County. We'll follow this story as we get new information coming in from the Sheriff's Department there. Back to you.
Mark, thanks for the latest on that story. St. Augustine's University is revealing plans to survive a financial crisis that's caused employees to be paid late and put the HBCU into millions of dollars in debt. Interim President Marcus Burgess spoke publicly about the university's money problems for the first time today. He says the university has a cash flow problem and may not be able to meet payroll again. Burgess says St. Augustine's is undergoing a forensic audit to determine how the school's finances became so dire. The university also hired a team to put together a new financial plan.
We're going to have to cut to work our way back. So we may have to operate on a leaner budget to ensure our stability going forward.
Burgess made a pledge to keep the university open. The university will be appealing the accrediting board to maintain its official status tomorrow.
If you feel like you're being watched at the polls this year when you're voting, you might be right. Changes to election law could mean that more people who are not election workers are watching you cast your ballot. WRL Capital Bureau Chief Laura Leslie was at an early voting site in Cary today to explain how these changes will affect you.
During the 2022 primary, poll observers in some counties caused problems by harassing voters and officials. But state lawmakers say they're an important part of maintaining election integrity. The new rules will give them more freedom to observe what goes on in voting sites like this.
We met early voter Rebecca Owen here at the Young Community Center in Cary. She hadn't heard about the new rules for poll observers, and she's concerned about voter intimidation.
And especially if the idea that they can roam around and look over your shoulder or whatever, you know, that it, I think it creates an atmosphere that I don't think is suitable to what we're trying to do, which is to have free and fair elections.
Poll observers are not election workers. They're appointed by a political party to oversee how voting is going and look for problems. It's not a new idea. They've been allowed in voting sites in North Carolina for decades. Last year, Republican lawmakers said their observers were not able to fully do their job because of restrictions on where they could be and what they could do in the voting place. The new rules allow them to move around much more. They can get much closer to voters than they used to, close enough to monitor conversations, says State Elections Director Karen Brinson Bell.
Observing may also mean listening. So they are going to be listening for the check-in process. They're going to be observing that a photo ID is presented.
But they're not allowed to see how you vote.
They can observe that a voter is marking their ballot, but they cannot be close enough to observe how they mark their ballot. The same applies to the voter inserting their ballot into the tabulator.
The new law also allows more observers in the voting area, as many as three per party, including some roaming observers who may be from other parts of the state. However, poll observers will now have to wear ID badges so voters don't mistake them for actual election workers, and they can take any concerns to officials at the voting site, but not to the voters themselves.
So an observer is not to interfere. They are not to communicate with voters. They are there to observe.
Laura Leslie, WRAL News, Cary.
Quick note here. Before you head out to the polls, check the WRAL voter guide. It has everything you need to know about polling locations, times, the candidates on your ballot. Just go to WRAL.com or the WRAL News app.
Many people have reached out to WRAL with concerns about their energy bills. One Duke Energy customer said her bill had jumped to $1,000, only to find out it was because of human error. Bryn Blanco says she was shocked when she opened her most recent electric bill. It cost more than $1,000 for her 1,000-square-foot home. Her bill showed she was using 400% more electricity than last February. Blanco knew that couldn't be right, so she contacted Duke.
Just the first phone call alone to even get to a manager and get any movement on this was about an hour and a half, and that was just the first phone call.
Blanco has her meter read manually, and Duke Energy tells WREL during this process, the usage information was recorded inaccurately. We are working to quickly resolve the matter and rebill the customer for the correct amount. Blanco says she now only owes $175.
That's a big difference. A traffic reminder for drivers in Raleigh starting today. Hillsborough Street at Blue Ridge Road is closed for the next 2 weeks as crews work to relocate a water line there. It's right near the fairgrounds. I know a lot of you are familiar with that area. Drivers can follow I-440 and Western Boulevard or Trinity Road and Blue Ridge Road for detours around all of this. The road is expected to reopen on March 2nd. Parts of the American Tobacco Trail are now closed as crews there work to renovate some of the bridges in the area. The White Oak Creek Bridge will be closed through Friday. That means the trail will be closed in Apex between Wimberley Road and a point just north of Goodwin Road. Work on other bridges on the trail will continue through April 17th.
Still ahead, North Carolina is launching a new tool for people in crisis, the new resource for people struggling with mental health, and when you can use it coming up. Plus, is warmer winter weather threatening snow sports? We'll take a look at how the resorts are adapting coming up. Mike?
Ashley, a little chilly today, but warmer weather is on the way this week. I'll outline that. Plus, our next storm system battering California. I'll show you when that arrives with Futurecast. It's coming up.
Bank of America customers will want to check for any notifications from the bank after a reported data breach. The data breach happened to Infosys McCamath Systems. The company services deferred compensation plans for Bank of America. IMS says its systems were hacked on November 3rd. More than 50,000 customers nationwide have had their names, their addresses, and social security numbers leaked. Again, Bank of America was not hacked. One of its service providers was. WREL is working to confirm now how many North Carolina customers were impacted by this.
Winter is coming to an end, and so is the season of cheaper gas prices. AAA says the national average for a price of unleaded gas this morning was $3.27. North Carolina is lower than the national average, going for $3.15 a gallon. That's up from a state average of $3.06 just 1 week ago. Gas prices tend to start their summer climb around this time each year, long before the summer temperatures hit. You can keep an eye on where prices are cheapest near you with our fuel tracker feature on the WREL News app. Just search fuel.
North Carolinians struggling with their mental health will soon have another resource for support right there at their fingertips. A new phone line is launching statewide tomorrow. And as WREL's Destiny Patterson reports, it will connect people in recovery with those still struggling.
How do we eliminate the stigma around mental health? First, by addressing it.
When we talk about there's help out there, there's hope, recovery is possible, that I can point to myself and say, I have been in that same position.
Since the launch of the 988 Suicide and Crisis Line, the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services says it's been busy.
Demand is still very strong.
The state reports a contact volume of more than 97,000 calls. More than 45% of their calls come from repeat callers.
Well, starting tomorrow, North Carolinians will have another option, one that gives you the opportunity to get support from people who may have gone through similar situations.
It's called the statewide peer warm line.
The peer line is different. This is a person who can say, yes, I've struggled with depression. Yes, I've struggled with homelessness due to my depression. Yes, my family didn't know how to help me. Yes, I used substances for a long time and it destroyed my family. But here's how I got to recovery.
It's a new type of connection.
To have somebody pick up the phone who you know has experienced some of the same things that you have, who are going to come from that non-judgmental, caring place. I mean, that's so meaningful.
It's important to know that this new hotline will work with and alongside the current 988 Crisis Lifeline. Both of those will be available 24/7. Destiny Patterson, WREL News.
And a ribbon-cutting ceremony to raise awareness for this new support line will take place in Charlotte tomorrow. We have a county-by-county guide to mental health resources for young and old, in person and over the phone. Go to WREL.com and search Get Help.
The President's Day holiday weekend is one of the busiest times for ski resorts. Here are a few resorts here. And if you look here at the bottom left corner of your screen, this is a live picture from Sugar Mountain. Do you see all that snow coming up? It almost looks like clouds. Winter warming has brought new challenges to keep the slopes open. But like this, resorts say they're adapting. Average winter temperatures across the country are about 4 degrees hotter than they were in 1970. High volume, high efficiency snowmaking technology allows resorts to cover more ground in a shorter window of freezing temperatures. Beach Mountain has installed an all-weather snowblower.
It is able to, it has an enclosed space. It can produce snow inside, and it's able to produce snow on upwards to, you know, 60 degrees even. So that's been a real game changer for us to keep our tubing facility open.
That's pretty impressive. Resorts are also boosting warmer weather offerings like mountain biking to attract tourists year-round.
Yeah, that said, it will be chilly tonight. Several shelters are open overnight in our area. Temperatures dropping below freezing in a lot of areas. In Wake County, men's and women's and family shelters are available. They close at 8 tomorrow morning, but they'll be open tonight. Fayetteville also has a shelter open right now until 7 a.m. tomorrow. Single men, women, and families can all stay there. Meteorologist Mike Mays joining us now to talk about the details of some of these dropping temps, Mike.
Yeah, and they're dropping fast this evening, Dan, because the skies are clear, the air is very dry, and winds are nearly calm. And that is a really good combination to allow temperatures to fall off quickly once the sun sets. By daybreak, it's 25 at Roxboro. Raleigh's at 29. We had 27 this morning. There could be some frost to start the day. Rocky Mount, you're at 27. Goldsboro, 30, 31 in Fayetteville, so prepare for a cold start. But then we start to warm back up. We have 58 today. Tomorrow will be in the same territory, so it'll be a coolish kind of day, but we start to warm up on Wednesday. In fact, we're going to say Wednesday is the beginning of our warm spell that'll likely last into next week, peaking this week into the mid to maybe upper 60s on Thursday, mid 60s on Friday, low 60s on Saturday, but Sunday and Monday that really start to warm up. In fact, by next Monday, we could be in the low 70s. Now, there is a rain system on the way. It's battering California right now. Tomorrow, Wednesday, even Thursday during the day is dry. Late Thursday night and into Friday morning, 30% chance of rain, 50% Friday during the day, 30% early in the evening on Friday, and then a 20% chance for sprinkles Saturday and also Saturday night. I don't think that's going to end up being a big deal. 58 was our high today. We're already at 46 at RDU. The dew point's in the 20s. And again, with clear sky and dry air, temperatures are allowed to fall off quickly. And here is what it looks like outside right now. 40 at South Hill, already in the 30s at Roxboro, 45 at Southern Pines, 48 right now in Fayetteville. And here in the Triangle, hour by hour, here's how we cool. We should be in the 30s by 10 o'clock here in the Triangle, 36 at midnight when you step out in the morning here in the Triangle, 29. But some of the colder rural areas will likely be in the mid-20s to start the day. So we had a gorgeous day today, a little wave of low pressure impacting the coast, bringing some cloud cover, maybe sprinkles. But this is the next system that will impact us. And notice the red polygon, a tornado warning right now in the Sacramento Valley. And inside that polygon is snow falling. Quite interesting to see a tornado warning. And part of that warned area is seeing snow come down right now. That system will make its way here by Friday. Not going to be a big rainmaker for us. It will weaken considerably by the time it arrives. So Thursday, it's partly to mostly cloudy. Friday morning, the way we see it, looking at some rain to start the day. Later in the afternoon, we see rain. Some of it can end up being heavy. And then later on during the evening hours, we should see that rain taper off. And that next front could bring some sprinkles for the day on Saturday. So our forecast overnight, lows will be in the mid-20s to the north, 29 in Raleigh, 31 in Fayetteville, 30 in Goldsboro. And then tomorrow, a beautiful day, partly to mostly sunny. That means there'll be more cloud cover than what we had today. A lot of us just saw pure blue sky. That probably won't be the case tomorrow, but still will be a pretty nice day. 57 Raleigh, 54 Roxboro, 59 in Fayetteville. Now check out your 7-day forecast. Not much winter showing up. Yeah, it's chilly tomorrow and cold Wednesday morning, but after that we warm up. Look at the morning lows. 53 Friday morning. Yeah, we're back down to the 30s Sunday morning, but it doesn't last long. 66 on Friday with that 50% chance of rain, Dan, and 71 by Monday.
Yeah, I was noticing those 70s coming up. Yeah. Mike, thank you.
Still ahead, an animal rescue caught on camera in our area today. How parkgoers took action to help a goose with netting stuck around its face, and how the animal was freed coming up. Cary Animal Services officers helped rescue an injured goose found with netting wrapped around its beak.
Look at the video here. This animal was found at downtown Cary Park. Parkgoers noticed the netting was making it impossible for the goose to open its mouth to eat. Officials captured the animal, safely cut the netting off, and then freed him. The goose, who people watching have nicknamed Greg Da Goose. Not sure why, but he was released back into the pond, and Greg Da Goose looks like he's doing much better. Way to go.
Oh, so happy that that had a good ending, and nice to see the goose flying off.
Yeah, looking good. So Wake County, a lot of visitors, a record year for tourism in 2023.
Visit Raleigh says both the hotel, lodging, and prepared food and beverage tax collections for last year were the highest on record. Visit Raleigh and the Greater Raleigh Alliance hosted more than 350 events, welcoming nearly 629,000 people to the area. Nearly 400 events were booked for future dates, projecting to bring with them a $206 million direct economic impact. Pretty impressive.
It's a popular place to be.
Mm-hmm. And a quick thank you this evening.
Yeah, big thank you, honestly. The WRL Facebook page tipped over the 800,000 follower mark. It's a pretty good milestone. It's the most followed news page in the Triangle. We want to take a moment and say thank you to everybody who follows us on there. Facebook, of course, launching 20 years ago just this month, originally called The Facebook. Since then, we've shared thousands of breaking news and live events, plus unique North Carolina stories, telling a lot of your stories at home on our page. So from all of us here at WRAL, thank you for following, and more great content to come there on Facebook. So Delta is offering a unique way to experience this spring's upcoming solar eclipse.
This is neat. The airline will operate a special flight from Austin to Detroit on April 8th, allowing passengers to spend as much time as possible directly within the path of totality. Hmm. An aircraft with extra large windows will give people premium viewing. The eclipse is the last total eclipse over North America until the year 2044. I think a lot of people will be wanting to take advantage of that.
That would be pretty unique. That would be an awesome way to see it.
Have you ever considered packing your bags, going on a trip to an unknown destination?
What do you pack in those bags? Who knows? Scandinavian Airlines has the opportunity of a lifetime, if that sort of thing sounds fun. The airline recently announcing the opportunity for members of its Eurobus loyalty program to book a flight experience they call Destination Unknown. More than 1,000 people have signed up for this already. The only clue travelers have been given is the flight itself will last a few hours. The mystery trip is scheduled for April 5th to the 8th. You'd do it.
I would do it. And you know what? So that last day of that trip is on the same day of that total solar eclipse. Maybe the return flight could be that one.
You know what? I'm intrigued. Thanks for being with us tonight. We'll see you back here at 11 on WRAL.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.